Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Another all-star game in the books, and this year they blew up the format. Team LeBron versus Team Giannis, and some of it was confusing, but in the end, it ended with a fascinating fourth quarter. And to make sense of this 157-155 game, plus all the All-Star Weekend festivities, we bring in Steve Popper from Newsday. He was in Chicago all weekend covering. Hey, Steve, thanks for joining the program.
No problem, but you're expecting me to make sense of all of this?
Well, the first thing is, I guess I do have to ask, is so the new format, what did you think of the new format?
Awesome. I thought it was tremendous. And you could see it really at the start of the fourth quarter. There's a complete change of tone in the game. Even though, you know, one team is starting up, it was... You could just see that it was defense being played. And look, as it started getting closer to the finish, you got Kyle Lowry taking a pair of charges. You got two coaches' challenges. That guy's, you know, probably gotten texts, arguing with the refs. It was a crazy kind of intensity that was just so strange to feel in an All-Star game. You know, the first two quarters were exactly like every other All-Star game.
Right.
No defense. Guys just running through the lane, dunks, open threes. And then just, like I said, that fourth quarter, it just turned around completely.
Yeah, it seemed to me, I'll confess, I watched 5 minutes of the first 5 minutes, and then I was prepping for the show and coming here, and I ignored it. For three quarters, I ignored it. And if anything, since I wasn't paying attention a lot, I found it confusing and was writing it off. And then by the fourth quarter, I was sitting in here with Eric, who was doing the updates, and we were glued to the set in the fourth quarter here in this studio because it really did get fascinating. It even seemed like, maybe I'm wrong, but just watching it from here, it seemed like by the end of the fourth quarter that, especially for people who aren't aware of it, this new format, it wasn't timed. It was about, you had to score, they chose 24 because of Kobe's number as a tribute, but you had to score 24 more points than that winning team scored. They set it at 157.
Right.
And by the end, it looked like the players were actually exhausted.
They absolutely were. They were exhausted. They were playing their hearts out. I mean, you know, look, you could say that the game doesn't mean anything. There was $300,000 on the line for a charity in that last quarter with the final score. But it was more than that. It was something of pride. You could see guys just fighting, fouling, you know, things. And look, the only flaw we had with it is that at the end it ends on a free throw.
Yeah.
Where, you know, we're all sitting there thinking like, you know, let's make it like a playground. Let's check it up top and start again. that might have been the best solution there.
You
hate to see it that way on the free throw, but
I would agree with that. So a lot to like in terms of the format. I guess there's no way to fix the first three quarters and have that be somehow meaningful and expect players to play that hard for. I guess being there, could you make an argument then that we don't need a full four quarters of an All-Star game? Should we play two quarters?
I already suggested to somebody from the NBA, joking around, that maybe when the Knicks and Bulls play, with, you know, losing records next week, we just start at zero, go to 24, forget the first three quarters, and let's call that a night.
And what they say.
There might be some interest in that. Mark Berman retweeted it by now. I think he said, let's make it 8 instead of 24.
because there was something novel and interesting about the untimed game and needing to score a certain point that kept both teams in it and kept everybody engaged. All right, so also being there, how did this weekend feel different with the, you know, the losses of Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gigi, as well as David Stern, and that looming over, hanging over this All-Star weekend? How did it feel different than a typical All-Star game?
Yeah, so that's what I wrote about tonight, that it really, you know, these things are usually kind of like a celebratory kind of fun thing. And there was some of that, but there definitely was an overtone here of loss. And the Kobe Bryant stuff was not even just in the arena. You know, downtown there was some billboards, you know, people put up, you know, Mamba mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just kind of took over the city. Look, the first two nights here, it was so cold that I don't think anybody saw anything or felt anything, any emotion other than cold, because it was 1 degree here on Friday.
Oh, really?
But then it became a pretty normal All-Star weekend. And then today, like I say, they really put on a great show. And I wonder how they would have done the show if Kobe hadn't passed, what the mood would have been here. But it was a celebration of Chicago, but really a celebration of Kobe. And there were two things that I really liked. Last night, we've done the moment of silences everywhere for a couple of weeks now. Dwayne Wade last night asked for 24.2 seconds of cheering. And then tonight, Magic Johnson asked people, you know, stand, hold hands, embrace the person next to you. And, you know, then just 8 seconds of silence with that. They tried to make it, I think, like I say, a little bit more of a good feeling instead of just all loss. I think Kobe would have enjoyed being a part of that fourth quarter tonight, because there's nobody who I've seen other than maybe him and Michael Jordan that have that killer mentality that would have enjoyed that.
Yeah, I think that. So what does it say in terms of the killer mentality? Is it apt that, in terms of the, yeah, you know, the MVP, the first MVP of this format and named after Kobe Bryant, that it in terms of a killer mentality, that it ended up being Kawhi Leonard?
Yeah, Kawhi spoke about that, how important Kobe was to him. And he does have that. There's very, very little smile and joking in Kawhi's game. That's not just this year. That's going to be a permanent thing, that this is now the Kobe Bryant Award. And I think that's great. You know, we've had the Bill Russell Award for the Finals MVP. I think this is a great way to remember him, more than just the numbers. But the one overdone tribute might be the numbers that everyone had, because it was awful hard to sometimes like keep track of who's who as you're watching them run down the court from a distance. So maybe like a smaller patch or something would have worked, but. But I thought the whole thing looked. I thought the performances were great. Magic Johnson, I thought, did a great job. I thought the whole thing was well done. The whole weekend, there was a sort of, you know, a feel for this for Kobe, and you know, not to put him in the background here, David Stern too, who did so much to kind of make all this happen.
Yeah, I thought Magic Johnson's remarks also regarding David Stern were important as well. But to your point on the performances, and a number of them were good, but Jennifer Hudson, that song, her that one jumped out of the television and was really, really very moving. Talking to Steve Popper from Newsday in Chicago for All-Star Weekend, and how about, in terms of the rest of the weekend, Were there commentary from the players in terms of the dunk contest, and was Aaron Gordon robbed?
I'm kind of probably in the minority here. I don't really think he was robbed. I thought, you know, he had some amazing dunks.
And he jumped over Taco. Come on.
Yeah, but, you know, like Dwayne said, he didn't quite clear him. He kind of bumped him. Taco bent down. I thought some of the dunks were just amazing by both of them. And look, not even just both of them. I thought Pat Connaughton did a great job,
yeah,
too. And if anybody had a gripe for not making it to the finals, that might have been him. I thought his scores were a little lower than they should have been.
And the dunk contest was one, I think, a few years ago that was starting to get stale. It didn't feel that way. I thought the NBA, you know, on the whole, you know, ratings may be down in general on the league, but I thought I'd seen that Saturday night, last night, they actually had a rating spike, and it felt like there was, whether, you know, you hate the loss, but there was a renewed energy and interest and a little, you know, passion around this All-Star weekend.
Yeah, and, you know, not to take anything away from these guys, because both Jones and Gordon were amazing. I mean, Jones had some dunks that were just, you know, you had to see the replay to see what was happening. It was amazing. But I still kind of feel like you'd really like to see the stars get in there. You know, you'd like to see LeBron James do it. You'd like to see Russell Westbrook in there. You know, even the younger players that are coming up now.
Just, Giannis. What would Giannis look like?
Yeah, Giannis. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and you know, they're all there. They're all kind of courtside. They're being used as props. I think fans would love to see them in there, you know, just to see the stars. Because I think that was a big part of the allure of, you know, the Michael Jordan and the Dominique Wilkins. You know, those were the best players in the game at the time. You know, the Vince Carter, the things he did there. It's just, I think the enduring memories are really those superstars. And I think having them in there, like whether they win it or not, maybe Derek Jones Jr. wins it anyway. But I think having those guys in there would be a special moment.
Steve, you know, obviously LeBron, the alpha male, the star of stars in the league in so many ways. But besides LeBron, being there in person, you know, being in the locker rooms, talking to these players, seeing them interact with each other, who pops off the court in person in an All-Star game in terms of being a star of stars?
Well, I hate to say this because we have so little access to them here. But look, I think some of them are funny and, you know, just kind of, you know, made an impression on people here. I think Kyle Lowry is always sort of fun here. LeBron, I think, does a great job as an ambassador for the game. I think Giannis is a guy that just has a personality that everyone loves, and that's media, fans, and players. I think you'll see him on the court kind of joking around. And by the way, when we talk about intensity, Giannis is the one guy who I thought first quarter, second quarter, it never changed. He was playing to kill from the start. So I think Giannis is really the guy. And maybe, look, he's the defending MVP. He might be the MVP this year. He may have supplanted LeBron as the face of the game by now.
Finally, before I let you go, so in terms of the New York Knicks, Leon Rose, the, you know, super agent, what's the holdup in terms of officially announcing him as Knicks team president? When can we expect to hear an announcement, an official announcement, and have that start?
We haven't heard a definite date. What I've heard is it's definitely happening. There is no, you know, that it's not, no chance of it not happening. But it's just a matter of not just paperwork of decertifying, but he's got, I think, 18 clients. He's got to move into different agents, you know, make sure that he wants to make sure they're staying with CAA. Some of them will go to different agents, to his son, I think, who works there. So I think it's just a matter of finishing up all that. And it hasn't been officially announced, but I don't doubt that he already is having, you know, an effect on what's happening in the Knicks offices. That, you know, just as, you know, when he was named, it didn't happen really in a 2-day span of from when Steve Mills was fired. You know, there have been talks with him and a number of other people before that. I think the same thing is happening now, even though he's not official there. I think, you know, they're starting to do the busy work of figuring out who's going to be the GM of this team, who's going to be the coach of this team, you know, where these next steps are, who's scouting, you know, these college stars to, you know, they're going to have a lot of picks, or they're going to have a lottery pick in another first rounder. So I think there is a lot of work to be done. I think that's probably starting up already, even if they can't say it is, and they will probably say it isn't. I'm starting to hear rumors of, you know, possible GM candidates, and I don't think that's happening if he's not in place to start making these things happen.
All right. Hey, Steve Popper, Newsday, appreciate the time and the coverage, and we'll catch up with you down the road.
Always, anytime.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.